I'm going to be reading from John chapter 8, starting in verse number 31. John chapter 8, starting in verse number 31. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou we shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." The verse that we're going to look at this morning in particular is verse number 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The reason that I wanted to study this particular topic is because we have a lot of trouble with the truth in the culture that we live in today, the world that we live in today, where people will claim their own truth. They'll say, you know, well, this is my opinion of what the truth is, or this is my truth. So you have your truth, and I have my truth, and everybody has their own truth, so you just believe whatever it is that you want to believe, and it's okay. But the truth of God's word is absolute. There is no changing. There is no wavering. It's a constant. And that's what we live by. And sometimes when we hear these things and we hear these truths of propaganda of lies and things over and over and over again, sometimes we let those things slip into our lives. And you know what? We start thinking, well, you know, maybe there is some truth to this. And the constant truth then becomes diluted, and it becomes no good. And our view of the truth is skewed. And so what I want to do this morning is talk about the truth and how that truth makes you free. And I've heard teaching being said that just being a disciple or a follower of Christ will enable you to know all the truths that are contained in the knowledge of the Word of God. And then you will know the truth. And that knowing that truth then makes you free. Well, is that true? Does just being a disciple of Christ just somehow enable you to know the truth? Just come up with thoughts in your head and know the truth? Or is it something entirely different that he's talking about here that makes us free? What exactly is it that knowing the truth sets us free from? Those are the things that we want to talk about this morning. The Jews that are here, they were Jews that it says in verse number 31 that we read earlier, who believed on him. They actually believed in Jesus. They believed on him. And the Jews there were listening to Jesus talk about the truth setting them free, but they were a little bit confused. They didn't quite get it. They didn't understand how knowing the truth could set them free, just by knowing the truth. So they stated that, you know, we're Abraham's seed, and you know, we followed Abraham. We've never been servants of anybody or in bondage towards anybody, towards any man. And Jesus tells them in verse 34 that, you know what, your problem's not that you are a servant of man, like they are speaking of, but they were servants of sin. And sin is the problem that they needed to resolve, not being physical human servants of someone else, some other man. So Jesus tells them that in verse 34. And then the key to understanding what Jesus is talking about in verse 34, verse 32. Let me back up so we can see all of these. there we go, in verse 32, is found in verse 35 and 36, which says, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So the Jews were holding on to being a disciple of Moses, which Moses being a servant of God. And being a servant of God, Moses delivered the law of God, both of which cannot provide salvation. And so Jesus tells them that the Jews there that believed on him, that being a disciple of Moses and the servant, who was the servant of God, the old law, it would not last forever. In fact, it would be done away with, and it would not ever make them free from sin. But the Son of God, which was much greater than Moses, a mere servant of God, and the commandments of the Son of God would last forever. And that those commandments and obedience to the Son of God would take care of their bondage problem to sin. Being obedient to his commandments, that would make them free to sin. So the truth that he's actually speaking of here in verse number 32, verse 32, is that Jesus himself is the truth. And that's what he was saying in verse 31 to the Jews in the beginning, the Jews that believed on him: "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." So it takes a continuance of study and knowledge of God's word to know the truth, and the truth that sets us free is being obedient to that truth. This might also bring to mind another particular verse that we can read, verse number 6, John chapter 14, verse 6. Says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Another verse you might be thinking of is 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. He saith, "I know, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So just knowing and studying God's word does not make us free from anything, does it? It doesn't make us know the truth. We may understand this. You know, we may read the books in the words in this book, and we may be able to understand English language, and we may be able to take all of these things. You may even commit the words to memory. But if you're not willing to take a step further and to obey that truth, here he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "If you say you know me, which is the truth, and you don't do what I say, you're a liar. You don't know the truth. You don't know squat." Paul also teaches the same things that we're talking about, that Jesus actually stated in the verses that we read at the beginning. In Hebrews chapter 3, or I should say the writer of Hebrews, which I believe to be Paul. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were of to be spoken after. But Christ, as the Son over his own house, whose house we are, If we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, pardon me. So being servants or disciples of Moses in the old law would only make us servants to that very law, right? So we'd have to serve that law. And if we break that law, then we're guilty. We're guilty of breaking the law. And by being servants of Christ, Jesus makes us much more than just servants. He makes us sons of God. And that is so much better than just being a mere servant, which can be sold or can be traded or can even be put to death. In 1 John, again, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Pardon me. So being sons of God is so much better than just being mere servants of God, because we have mercy. We have grace and forgiveness at because of our God and our Father, his love for us, the love that he has shown us by allowing his Son to come to this earth. But being mere servants, we would only earn punishment and damnation for the sins that we've committed. Because remember, being servants like Moses, servants to Moses or servants to the law, we'd have to obey the law. When we break the law, then we're guilty of sin. But the law does not forgive sin. The law does not do that. It only condemns. And so we needed a Savior, which was Jesus Christ. But being a servant to Moses or a servant to the law, the only thing that we have to look forward to is punishment and death, because all have sinned, all have failed, all have transgressed the law of God, and the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So being sons of God is so much better than being mere servants, because we have forgiveness and pardon when we obey the truth of God's word, when we obey that doctrine of the gospel of Christ. And not only does pardon that comes by being free from sin, but we are also become heirs of God, heirs of Christ. Heirs of God with Christ by being sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So, we're heirs with Christ. You know, when we have earthly parents here on this earth, and we know that everyone's going to die. Everyone's going to die at some point, physically in our body. But if you know, that will happen before the Lord returns, but we're all going to die at some point. And on this earth, when our parents die and they leave all of the things on to their sons and their children, their sons and daughters. They inherit those things that were of belongings to them. And those things that belong to them, sometimes they may take out a will, and they would write those things down in this will and say, okay, well, you know, my son so-and-so is going to get so much of this, and my son so-and-so is going to get so much of this. And so the children inherit those things which belong to the parents. Well, in like manner, this is what is saying, what God is saying, what the Word of God is saying here, that not only is Christ our Savior, but He is our brother. We're joint heirs with Christ, being sons of God, just as Christ is the Son of God, and being heirs of a heavenly home someday with God, our Father. And you say, well, you know, that's, all of this is fine and dandy. You talk about the truth, and you know, maybe you're a little bit confused about knowing the truth, and how does this truth set me free, and where do I start? Maybe you're like the Jews that we talked about in John chapter 8, verse 33. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? How does this work? How do we begin this? Well, we've talked about the first step already, and that is we got to hear the truth. We got to hear the truth, not just hear it, not just study it, not just read it, but put it in our hearts, put it in our minds, so that we might meditate upon it. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5 says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." We've got to listen and hear the words of Jesus through God's word. Trust in those things, believe in those things, and that's next. Believe the truth. Those things that we find in God's word, we need to believe it. Not have doubt according to the truth, but believe it. John chapter 8, verse 24 says, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." We have to believe. Believe the truth. Believe in Jesus as he is the truth. The next thing, we got to repent of our sin, our own selfish lusts and desires. And we have to embrace that truth. And that, look at Luke chapter 13, verse 3. "I tell you, nay, except you repent, shall all likewise perish." Repentance is a turning away from our old self and living a life according to the things that we've read in God's word, that we've studied, and that we've put our trust in, our belief in, our faith in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 says, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ." Speaking only the truth. Don't let all of these other things come in. Don't let these other so-called opinionated truths dilute the real truth of God's word. Repenting of all of those things and living a life by the truth, speaking only truth and love, so that the truth grows up into us in all things. That we're filled with the truth. And that truth is even that which it says here is, which is the head, even Christ. The next thing is, with our actions, we confess Jesus Christ. Not with just our voices, but the way we live our lives. It's a way of life. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the truth. "I am the truth," Jesus says. "I am the truth." Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. Also, I say unto you, whoso shall ever confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Have we ever denied Jesus? Have any of your actions ever made somebody look at you and say, well, there's no way that guy's a child of God? Guilty. Confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God is also a full-time job, isn't it? Because if we act the hypocrite, people are going to call us hypocrites. They're not children of God. Something my son-in-law said to me this morning, Jacob, was talking about in boot camp and going to these different churches. They're different congregations, different types of denominations. As you were on Sundays, they give us a break time so we could go and fulfill religious, our religious activities for that Sunday. And there were some that wouldn't go, and they just said, y'all just, using this as an excuse, a free pass so that y'all can just go. Because I don't see you people, acting that way all through the week. Y'all act however you want to. But, when it comes to Sunday, I got to have my day off so I can, so I can go do my stuff at church. Why? Because they all acted a fool during the week, during boot camp, during training. Oh, but everybody picked up their Bible to go to church on Sunday. It's a full-time job, isn't it? To be ambassadors for Christ, to speak only the truth, to confess Him before men. Lastly, we have to obey the truth. We have to obey the truth in baptism. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when Peter was speaking to the multitude and they were pricked in their heart, they said, what do we do? You're right. We're guilty. What do we do? He said, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism and remission of sin. Coming in contact with the blood of Christ through baptism. It's what sets us free. And what sets us truly free? You know, back in the old days when before the United States was so-called discovered, or before the Americas were so-called discovered, and there was no United States of America, and people came across the ocean and discovered this place. And a lot of them were fleeing persecution for religious reasons because they wanted to worship in the ways that they wanted to worship. They wanted to worship God in truth, the way that they thought that should be done. And so they decided, hey, we're going to make this a free country, freedom of religion. We're going to have freedom. We can worship the way that we want to. The way that God desires us to. And so what has happened? Is this what freedom really is? To do the things that we want? To live the life that we want? To live a life of prosperity? A life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? And religious freedoms? And don't get me wrong. I like being able to come together in the first day of the week and not have to fear anybody and what things they would do to, you know, someone would do to me. But everybody has the freedom to do what they want, right? That's not real freedom. That's not what's going to make us free. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us free. That's what makes us free from sin. We have remission of sin. That's what makes us free indeed. I know these things are all things that we have realized and we've studied in the past, but it's always a good idea to revisit these things because of the culture that we live in, because of the way that the world is that we live in today, and the bombarding of opinionated truths that come to us. And I pray that the things that we have studied, the things that we have talked about this morning will help us, that we may stay firm and constant on the truth of God's word by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the head, even Christ. And if you want to start that walk in truth this morning, I pray that you would do that, that you would follow the steps that we've talked about to start walking that truth, walking with Christ, the truth, the only way to true freedom, freedom from the bondage of sin, and obeying the steps that we've talked about this morning and being baptized for the remission of sin and being free. And maybe you've struggled, like all of us have at times, and struggled with being free, struggled with sin in our lives and confessing Jesus throughout our lives. And maybe you've struggled with some of these things. You'd like the prayers of the church. We'd invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing.